to Human Music. I'm your host, Mira Joe. Each show, I ask a guest musician to share their musical experiences and pick a song to listen to together. My guest today is musician Luca Stricagnoli. Luca is considered to be one of the most unique guitarists in the world. His creative style led him to invent instruments like the reverse triple neck guitar and the reversed slide neck, which have vastly contributed to the modern evolution of acoustic guitar. He has been hailed as a phenomenon and a prodigy and has played in over 20 countries. Originally from Italy, he now lives in Nashville. Luca will be performing at the Vashon Center for the Arts on Friday, November 1st at 7:30 p.m. Welcome, Luca, to Human Music.
Thank you very much. It's great to be with you guys.
Have you been to Vashon before? Is this your first show in Vashon?
Yeah, that's going to be my first time to Vashon Island. I'm really excited about it.
How did you end up coming to Vashon for a show?
Luckily, my list of contacts and, you know, people who know about my music in the USA is, you know, slowly getting bigger and bigger. And somehow my agency got in touch with the presenters of the theater in Vashon Island, and there was interest in having me. So I was very happy to say yes to that.
We are very fortunate to have you. This is going to be a great show. I like to start off just by asking my guests how they began making music.
I discovered guitar when I was about 10 years old. I saw somebody playing it in the street, and it was instant love. I just asked my mom to buy me a guitar, and I just never wanted to part ways with my guitar. So many years ago.
And what kind of music did you listen to growing up?
I was listening to, when I was little, I was listening to some kind of Italian music that my mama would listen to on the stereo that we had at home. And later on, I was just kind of copying whatever my brother was listening to. He's 1 year older than me, and he went through lots of different phases in music, and I was just following up and listening to all of that. So I had my punk phase, I had my heavy metal phase, I had my rap phase, and all sort of music.
And what kind of music did you start playing on the guitar?
I started with classical guitar. Classical guitar was probably the one that has the most teachers in Italy, the one that, you know, there's the longest tradition of, you know, learning and teaching classical guitar. So that's what I started with. And that has been like the foundation for me to then learn everything else.
And so did you started playing a classical guitar, like a nylon string guitar, and then when did you transition to a steel string?
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Well, I only discovered fingerstyle when I was about 19 years old. So I played classical guitar for many years, from 10 to 16, and then I just quit for like 3 long years. I just quit completely playing music, and I started doing judo. I was doing some combat sports, and I never thought I would play again until a friend from my judo gym showed me like some videos of somebody playing fingerstyle guitar on this American YouTube channel called Candyrat Records. And I thought, what is that? I thought, I did not know you can play guitar like that. So then at 19 year old, I just took the guitar from the closet, removed some dust, and I started copying from YouTube. So that's how it went.
And then when you started playing the guitar again, how did your musical taste develop from what you were listening to when you were in your teen years?
Well, I guess I just had a lot of fun discovering how pretty much any song can be adapted into guitar versions and how it changes its character. Like, you take a heavy metal song, you play it on acoustic guitar, it sounds way different. You take a hip hop song, you play it on acoustic guitar, it sounds totally different. So that became a source of a lot of fun for me because I wanted to try every style played on fingerstyle guitar.
Yeah, you have a really unique sound, and it does, I can tell that you just really enjoy taking these songs and making them your own.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I have a lot of fun.
Then how did you kind of find your unique voice in all of that, you know, transitioning from classical music, which you were probably playing? I don't know how much composition. Were you making up songs when you were younger?
You know, I never really created any original music when I was younger because, and not even arrangements really, because in classical guitar, mostly you just focus on interpreting compositions written by other people and actually trying to respect the way the composer meant the composition to be played. So you read the score and it says, oh, here play loud, here play it soft, and you got to do it properly. So, but then when I discovered the fingerstyle guitar world, I thought like, hey, everybody is writing their own pieces, or they're arranging songs by themselves. They're not just looking to music written by somebody else in a way. And so the first step for me was starting arranging songs. So taking famous songs I loved and just creating by myself a guitar version for them. That was my first approach to creating something. And then I discovered also composing songs just from scratches.
That's awesome. And so it's interesting that you left playing guitar when you were 16, you said. Mm. And so was that part of it, is feeling like you weren't really able to express yourself fully creatively? What caused you to want to walk away?
I'm still wondering fully to this day, but I believe yes, that was part of it. I feel like I was not expressing myself really properly, and also I think I just failed to see how I could really be different than other people, because you know, there's a lot of people that are really talented out there, lots of people who can play almost perfectly, and they're technical monsters. And I thought like, well, how can I become like a solo concert player in all of this crowded world? And I guess when I discovered fingerstyle guitar, though, I thought, oh, I feel like here I can really have something to say. And that really ignited my passion again.
It's interesting how you felt intimidated, I guess, by these great classical guitarists. And I'm a guitarist, but when I hear someone like you, I am both inspired, but also intimidated. And so what would be your advice to someone like me?
I guess it's cool to remember how sometimes even the people who you feel slightly intimidated by when it comes to music, you know, maybe they don't think the world of themselves either, right? So that's the case for me. I feel like I'm a lot focused on how I can get better on the things that I don't do well enough. But I just love that. I love how there's more than a way to get to the goal of doing something interesting, right? So if you maybe lose on the term of technical skills, maybe you can just win on originality. If you lose on that as well, maybe you can win on how actually, how real you are, how you communicate with the audience. And so I feel like it's the whole persona just gets thrown into the music. So there's, when you point on being unique, then that's where you're like just out of the comparison, you know what I mean? And that's what I like the most, just be out of the comparison.
I love what you just said. That is really reassuring. And it's sometimes hard for me to remember that that is the goal, is to be fully able to express ourselves and our unique perspective and identity. And it's not about what skills, where I'm strong or where I'm weaker, what I lack, what I need to gain. It's more moving towards a different kind of North Star, which I love that take on it. As you develop your unique voice, what do you think that, how does that reflect Luca? You know, how does your music kind of gel with who you are as a person?
I think it's always like a constant evolution, and certainly there's like a strong relationship between the two things. And I guess probably all the life experiences get thrown a little bit into what you do musically. And at the same time, when you maybe like find yourself stagnating on a musical level, you feel like, hey, I feel like I'm not really evolving, then maybe it means that you need new life experiences. Maybe you need to to discover something new as a human being, right? And so that's like an interesting topic of research, you know, that I'm actually right now in this very period. that's what I'm thinking about a lot. Because, you know, sometimes when you do something that works and you get recognition for it, it's very easy to get stuck into it. And years pass by and you go like, you know, how have I been changing? How have I been improving since then? And sometimes you don't like the answer. You're like, maybe not so much. So I currently want to reinvent myself a little bit and just discover some new stuff.
Yeah, making music has always been a strong part of my identity. But recently I started taking watercolor classes, and watercolor is really, really hard. I've no visual art training whatsoever, but what you're saying makes me think like it's good to be a beginner and have that beginner mind and do something that I feel like I'm not good at and do it even though I don't feel like I'm good at. And I sometimes feel like with music, I give up a little bit too easily, where if it's not something that's easy or natural or comfortable, then I tend not to do it. And then I do feel a little stagnant when that happens. So what you're saying just makes me think, yeah, like it is really important for me to have this other aspect of my creative life that isn't as well established, but that I could bring some of that beginner mind into my music.
Totally. I think so. And I feel like, for example, even just in watercolor, I guess one can sort of convert maybe the kind of feeling you get from that, the kind of inspiration and whatever mental images you develop in the process, and then convert them into musical landscapes. And also, yeah, I feel like when somebody has the sensation that the mountain to climb is too high, right? That's when one feel like, oh, I'm not even gonna start with that. I was just in China, and you know, some people tried to learn some word of Chinese, and I just went, I thought like, can I really learn Chinese? And I thought like, nah, that's like that's a lot. So I felt like I'm not even gonna start with that, right? But maybe with music one can just go like little step by step and just try to do something.
Well, it's incredible to hear that from someone like you. I mean, you not only are playing music, but then you're also inventing your own instruments. What got you starting to do that?
I think the point was that I was trying to make my life easier. Like when I had some kind of technical struggle playing something, I thought like, oh man, so to do this, I wanted to do this and that and that. It seems hard to me. I thought like, isn't that like a better way to do it? Something at least that would work best for me. And then I started kind of fantasizing about ideas and actually doing them. they are sometimes the originating thought is very childlike, you know. For example, the very first time that I did something a little bit particular on the internet, I just remember I needed to play three different notes using a violin bow on the guitar, but I had to do it with just one hand. And I thought, like, how do I change the note if I cannot use the other hand? And so my childlike reasoning was like, I need three notes. How about I use three guitars, three different guitars? And then I did it, and people loved it. And so my lesson was like, next time you have some kind of like a strange idea, sometimes you have this kind of like thought, just go with them, just follow them, do it, see what happens.
Do you think there's a reason why you're more wanting to express those different aspects as a solo artist versus playing with other people?
Yeah, I discovered music as a solo experience, and I just really love the intimacy of it. I love this kind of introspective part of it. And that's what I really fell in love with. And to this day, it stays that way. So when I'm by myself, I feel like maybe in my mind, there's some kind of orchestra playing, but there's only so much I can do with my hands. And so you're always a bit sort of stuck in a little cage. And you try to do more than you can. You try to expand this cage as much as you can. And this is the part that I actually have fun with.
And I love that you make so many YouTube videos, because watching you navigate the necks of the different necks of the guitars that you're playing is incredible. And you don't just play the strings, you play the guitar body and have a rhythmic piece, and you do some... like scratch, it sounds like a record scratching, you know, like a turntable or yes. Something. So it's just like amazing to see all the things that you're able to do. Did you ever, I mean, you do cover a lot of great, great electric guitarists. And did you ever think, oh, maybe I should go electric?
I did think about electric guitar, because it's just super cool, you know, e-guitar is awesome, but it does not have the percussive element, and this is something I'm quite in love with, because I try to, you know, have, like, say, the whole band. And e-guitar I discovered more as a one voice instrument, you know, just like playing crazy, amazing solos, beautiful melodies, but not as a whole band in one.
You're listening to Human Music on KVSH LP Vashon. I've been talking with my guest musician, Luca Stricagnoli.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support, making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at windermerevashon.com.
VOV support provided by Granny's Attic, serving the Vashon Island community for 50 years. Since its inception, it's been a vital hub for donations, thrift shopping, and supporting other local nonprofits. From vintage finds to quirky collectibles, every purchase supports island charities. So you're basically saving the world one gravy boat at a time. Granny's Attic, off our rockers since 1974. Find them on the web at vashongrannysattic.org.
Welcome back to Human Music. I've been talking with my guest, musician Luca Stricagnoli. Luca will be performing at the Vashon Center for the Arts on Friday, November 1st at 7:30 p.m. Luca, I've asked you to pick a song that we can listen to together. Can you introduce the song we'll be listening to?
The song I'd love to listen to is Feel Good Inc. or Feel Good Incorporate by Gorillaz. It's just a song that I loved for many, many years. And one day I decided to make a cover of it and create an acoustic guitar arrangement. And something about it technically was causing me some kind of issues. And there was like a riddle that I really wanted to solve. And I worked on it for months and months and months and months. And until finally the solution for me to play the song properly on guitar was to create a new guitar with three necks. So I kind of created a new guitar specifically with the intention of playing this song. And the guitar was useful for many other reasons, but this song started it all. So that's why.
We're going to listen to the song Feel Good Inc. by Gorillaz. What a good vibe. That got me moving around. So
yes.
What strikes me is that it feels like it's supposed to be an upbeat song because of the groove.
Yes.
And then there's the maniacal laughter in the background. And that's kind of juxtaposed with these really pretty interludes. And so there's this back and forth tension between just the dark, like a dark side and a light side.
Yes, exactly. That's what I notice as well. There's really like two distinct parts that are quite contrasting with each other. In fact, it seems to me like, because the song is quite complex when it comes to lyrics, right? It's hard to understand. And so upon doing some research, you know, it seems like it's indeed kind of talking about a bit of a contrast between some kind of artificial happiness, something that society tells you should be, kind of try to establish what you should think and how you should be. And then like an inner side that actually searches happiness somewhere else. And it's like a real happiness, which would be the chorus, right? So the verses with this kind of like aggressive part going on, it's kind of talking about the city breaking down and some kind of like, you know, dystopian scenario. And then there's like the chorus, which talks about windmills and, you know, and that's the happiness part.
Yeah, the lyrics are very metaphorical, and it actually kind of is a great fit that this is a gorilla song, but the guest was De La Soul. That's a really lyrical hip hop group, I consider. Lots of fun with kind of the melodic and the words and the storytelling. And so it just seems like such a great fit.
Yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing is that, so when I discovered this song, well, my English got better now, but back then I was having struggles understanding anything at all in any song. And so I kind of made up in my mind what they're talking about or imagined based on how the music goes. For example, have you guys watched the movie Gladiator? You know, Gladiator. So there's like this song sang by Lisa Gerrard where she's just making up an invented language, right? She's just like saying things that do not actually mean anything. And for me, listening to English music was a little bit like that. It's like, oh, it sounds good. And based on the music, I kind of imagine what they're talking about. And then maybe it was different. So in this song, I did not know it, but I totally felt what you said before. I felt like, oh, look at this contrast between like this the verse and the chorus. So that's kind of cool how even just through the music you can just make that up.
It's very really interesting, and we live in this time where, you know, the video for this song is all in animation, and so the video also tells this story of what the song is. So you have your initial perception of what the song means by listening to the music, then the lyrics, and then the video.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I discovered then it's kind of inspired by another artist that I really love a lot, which is Hayao Miyazaki, the Japanese animation movie director. And in fact, I love this music video as well. It's just amazing. So really, really great artwork overall.
Yeah, it's very multidimensional. The creative with the digital age, I mean, I know that a lot of, like, I'm not a digital native, and so I can easily poo-poo, you know, technology when I can't get my video conferencing to work or whatever it is, right? So it's easy to just, you know, have this frustrated view of technology. But yeah, it does open up these creative avenues, which I think is kind of what you're doing with inventing these musical instruments. It's this technology development to broaden our creative scope individually and as a culture.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it just gives you sometimes some extra ways to express yourself. And they just created completely like animated character to represent themselves. And, you know, so this song, okay, so there is like a rapped part And then there's like a part that is actually, you know, performed with singing, with normal singing, right? And so when you arrange it on guitar, the part where you're kind of like singing, it's just notes, right? Just simple notes. When it comes to rapping, so it's like when people speak, they're not actually singing notes that fit in our scale with tones and semitones, right? Sometimes they're like maybe some microtones, like the way the voice goes. And so when you play it on acoustic guitar and you want to turn a rap part into notes, then you got to sort of convert it forcefully into notes. You got to assign some notes. So what I'm saying is like, like the beginning of the song, right? He goes like, let me just pull up the lyrics, right? So he's saying like, city's breaking down on a camel's back. And he says it like, city's breaking down on a camel's back. So what notes are these? And so you turn it into guitar, you go like, you just gave it some semitones to kind of try to convert this descending feeling, right? And then he goes like, they just have to go because they don't know whack. And you just again turn it into notes like na na ni ni na ni ni na ni na. So this part of the arranging was really fun for me.
It almost sounds like you really like the challenge of taking kind of a hip hop song and turning it into something different, but the same.
Yes. yes. No, definitely it sounds different. It's kind of like when you put auto-tune on people speaking.
It's interesting when we listen to things, like the context that we listen to it. You know, like, for example, initially hearing the upbeat nature of the song and then looking at the lyrics and then looking at and really diving into the melody. You're just entering that song on so many different levels. And it makes me think actually of the movies, a couple of movies I've recently, Dune and Oppenheimer, and those soundtracks. And when you're watching the movie and listening to the soundtrack completely supports what you're seeing and the story that's being told on the screen. But then when you listen to those soundtracks, separate from the movies, you hear all sorts of different things, and you just, I just saw like how incredible these soundtracks are and how they just stand on their own. And I actually just really for a while was just preferring listening to those soundtracks rather than other kinds of music because of that really visual experience of it separate from the movie screen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, plus, well, you mentioned two works by Hans Zimmer. He's a genius, that man. Absolutely brilliant. I went to see him live once in Frankfurt in Germany, and another time the Hans Zimmer World, which is like a bunch of musicians with this project approved by him. There was another crazy experience. And oh man, he's a pretty revolutionary composer for film music. I agree with what you said.
But it's like taking like that simple progression, like you just said, that first line, the first lyric of the song in the Gorilla song, this descending progression, and when it's vocalized, it's a little punchier, but when you're translating it to the guitar, it has a more sliding into the depths kind of feel. I want to say kind of sinister or something like that.
Yeah. I try to sort of convert. So of course, a key point of the song is the bass line here. So there's like this motif, boom, 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 boom. So this motif is very important. It carries the whole song. And so I started with that, with the bass line. And my guitar that I used to perform, it has got three necks. And the neck number three is actually a bass neck. There's just like three bass strings. And it's a reverse neck. So it's kind of complex to explain now for, you know, people who listen without the visual support. But this neck is basically built the other way around compared to a normal guitar. So instead of having the first fret on the left side, where you have the left end, it has the first fret on the right side. And so, yeah, this neck is used to play that part, this punchy part, and the percussion. And then the melody. So what the artists are rapping is actually played on the first neck of the guitar. So there's already two different sounds. But then when the chorus comes in, you get this sort of angelic vibe, right? This sort of like peaceful, higher level part. And that's when the second neck of the guitar comes in. And this one is only high pitched strings tuned in scale. So it actually sounds more angelic. And that's what I used to play then, the chorus part.
Looks like the original instrumentation on the song, acoustic guitar keys, vocals, and electric guitar. So everything is created on those instruments. And it does have a very rich feeling, even though there are limited instruments on the recording.
Yeah, I guess they must be using some kind of samples and synthesizers, maybe through the keyboard, because I just hear a lot of cool sounds in there. So lots of cool soundscapes. Yeah, it makes me think of this other track of them, Clint Eastwood, where they just use like a sample from this little keyboard they used to sell. So yeah, I feel like they mix real instruments with the electronics super well, these guys.
If you're just joining us, I've been talking to my guest, musician Luca Stricagnoli. We've been talking about the song Feel Good Inc. by Gorillaz. If you want to hear Luca perform, we are very fortunate on Vashon because he'll be here on November 1st, Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the Vashon Center for the Arts. And then you can see in person his instruments and what he's doing with all of these songs. This is Human Music on KVSH LP Vashon, your listener-supported Island Connection.
This portion of VOV programming is brought to you by Glass Bottle Creamery, your source for small batch island made ice cream and frozen desserts, and now arcade games. Find them on the web at glassbottlecreamery.com.
Ellis Cedar has earned a reputation for delivering the finest cedar products available. They are selective, friendly, and they understand customers' needs. With a large inventory, Ellis Cedar supplies custom and specified orders on time, and in-house manufacturing ensures exceptional quality. Located on Vashon Island in the heart of the Puget Sound, Ellis Cedar delivers top-quality Western red cedar worldwide.
Welcome back to Human Music. I've been talking with my guest, musician Luca Stricagnoli. We're going to play your version of the song Feel Good Inc. by Gorillaz. So that was Feel Good Inc. by Gorillaz, Luca's interpretation of that song, which it's incredible the emotion that you get from that song when you transcribe it into your acoustic guitar. And then to watch you on YouTube is just another level of fun. How did you start making your YouTube channel? Tell us about your YouTube channel.
Oh, with pleasure. So I published for many years video through the channel of Candy Red Records, who's this US label who first gave me a chance and gave me like a great, amazing platform to show my music to the world, which is something I'm super grateful for. And then after several years, I also started publishing on our own channel of mine, which is just like my name and last name, just Luca Stricagnoli, or people can just type Luca guitar on YouTube and I pop up. So L-U-C-A. And then luckily, I was able to get fans on my own YouTube channel as well. And I since then published maybe something like 60 videos that I always produce with my wife. She's an amazing songwriter, actually. But because we love working together, she also, end up shooting my videos, and she's so good at it. Very small team, mini team, but luckily we accumulated a lot of fans, and it brings us a lot of joy to see people listening to what we do.
Can we find your wife on YouTube also?
Oh yeah, her name is Meg, just M-E-G. And her last name is Pfeiffer, P-F-E-I-F-F-E-R. Like a mix of Meg Ryan and Michelle Pfeiffer, as he always says. Meg Pfeiffer.
I always like to bring visibility to the incredible women behind incredible men. So thank you, Meg.
Thank you.
Kudos to you.
Way to go. Oh, she's like, a one-woman army, I call her. She just can do anything. She's amazing.
So when you're listening to a song, how do you know that you want to cover that song? What do you listen for? What strikes you about a song where you're like, I can do something with that?
Well, I kind of notice my head moving. I'm like, oh, God, why is my head moving on time? You know, like, I must be liking this. No, I just when I love the song, it makes me shake my head, or it gives me some emotion, gives me some goosebumps, then I just know I want to play it. So I get this kind of feeling no matter what the genre of the song is. And then there's also a next step. Like after I listen to the song and I like it, what I do is I go and search on the internet to see if somebody already made a guitar interpretation that I think it's really good. Sometimes I find some versions that I feel like, I've got really nothing else to add. I feel like this person totally nailed it. And some other times I feel like, oh, look, there's some good versions out there, but I think I have something different to say, so I'm going to make my own. So that's how I proceed.
And then what have you learned about melody and rhythm from covering these pop songs? Because it's really like the pop songs are popular songs, and they're popular for a reason. But you make them your own. But what have you learned about pop songs just from listening to them and covering them?
Well, it's like some styles of music are a bit more repetitive. They have simpler structures. And then some other genre, they have like they keep changing. Or it's like if you do a piece of classical music, you know that you're gonna have about a zillion different chords and in there, whether pop, you know, you're gonna have less. But the thing about what I play is that no matter how simple or hard it is what you're trying to arrange, you always end up making it hard because you add as many details as you possibly can until you're out of your energy, you just cannot anymore. So sometimes when there's like a song with a simple structure, maybe I managed to play four different layers at the same time. When the song is completely crazy, maybe I do less layers because I'm using all my energy just trying to play the chords in the song. So for this reason, I kind of put them all in the same pot, you know, no matter what genre, for me, it's all almost the same.
The way that you create all those different textures, just you as a single person on this incredible instrument that you've invented, how does your brain keep track of all of those different layers? What is that experience like performing that song on that instrument?
Well, I guess it's interesting because at the beginning, when you're trying to learn it, sometimes the mind struggles a little bit following it. And there are moments where I have to actually write it down on a program, like I use Guitar Pro, just because I need the program to just kind of like play it then for me at a slower speed so that I can really get it. And then it kind of it enters my muscular memory and it just works automatically. Like I remember at first, I just was some years ago, I was arranging a song by The Prodigy, this band called The Prodigy. And this one part that goes like da 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 da. Da, 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 da. And it keeps going with this rhythm, right? And then another different rhythm comes in at the same time, like bum 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 ba da ba ba. And like, okay, I gotta put these two things together. And then there's another one, there's the drum, like, and like, okay, wait a second, I can play them one by one, but how to put them together, I don't get it. And so I just wrote them one by one in this Guitar Pro program. Then I slowed it down, and then I copied what I was listening. That's how I learn it, through my muscle memory. And then at some point, the hand, they just go by themselves, you know? So that's kind of the breakdown of how I do it sometimes.
So cool, so cool. You're really making technology work for you, Luca. Amazing. And then you don't just play one genre of song. You don't pick one genre. You play songs all across spans, times and music genres and history. You just get go all over the place. What drives you to continue to just consume all these different forms of music?
I think it's just passion, love for music, the way it makes me feel, the help that it gives me in certain moments of my life. It's just cool to live in a world that has music in it, you know? It's kind of like automatic for me. You know, it's like sometimes you listen to something and then you get this earworm, you got this thing playing in your mind. And then, of course, I just grab my guitar and I just try to play it. So that's kind of instinct.
And now you live in Nashville. How has living, what is that like for you, living in Nashville after living in Italy for so many years?
Oh, well, it's very different. Like, I think there people are great in Nashville. I just love many things in general about Americans. You know, I think as a culture is very polite. You know, very lovely. You know, always asking how you are. You know, there's not a lot of being egocentric and stuff. So I love all of that. And there's a lot of amazing musicians in Nashville. And so far, everybody I met was down to earth, probably because they are aware of the fact that they're not the only one with talent, because they're surrounded by by fellow amazing artists, right? So this keeps everybody humble. And so it's just beautiful. I haven't spent a lot of time in Nashville, because I keep touring the whole year, but when I stay there, I'm happy.
Has it been influencing the way you make music or the music that you're making?
So far, not, because, you know, they also do like predominantly, I mean, there's not just country there in Nashville, but of course, that's what it's mostly known for. And that's not really what I do, although I did a few versions of country songs because I happen to like that as well. I went there because I thought it's a nice location to fly everywhere in the USA. And I thought it's still calmer and more affordable than in other parts. And also because I thought, how cool, a lot of artists are going to pass by there and maybe I can get a chance of being inspired, of listening to others. I did not even think about playing in Nashville. And in fact, I still haven't played in Tennessee overall. It's just like a base for me. It's where I like to stay. Yeah.
So you've been touring all over the world. For how long now? How long have you been touring all over the world?
I started back in 2015, so it's been 9 years at this point, and you know, soon to be 10. A lot of touring every year, yes, for sure.
And what do you enjoy about touring, and what do you not enjoy so much?
Well, I really enjoy just the contact with the audience. They give me a lot of energy when I just meet people, and everybody, each of these people chose to move from the couch, just get in the car, drive somewhere, and you know, take several hours of their time to come and listen to me. And it's just overwhelming because I'm there alone on stage and there's maybe whatever 300 people there to watch me. You just don't get used to this, never. And then I meet them and we shake hands and we have a chat and everybody tells me, you know, what they think. And it's just a high that is hard to replicate. At the same time, what I maybe do not like so much is, of course, staying away from my beloved ones. From my wife, because you know, she's a musician herself, and sometimes we tour together. But she's got her own projects to worry about. You know, she's producing a lot of music, and so sometimes she gotta stay home for that. And my family back in Italy. So yeah, this part is not easy, maybe. But I feel like it's a mission, you know. I just feel like I just want to bring music everywhere, and I like this.
I can't wait till you get to Vashon. And what can we expect from this show on Vashon?
People can expect to totally be into this guitar world, see some guitars they've never seen before. And it's not just going to be music, but also having some fun together, because I do love to explain about what I do and why this guitar has got three necks, why this neck is reversed, why am I now playing with two guitars, why am I using a kitchen knife and a metal plate taken from a package of fish to play this certain song. So there's a lot of fun and, you know, very easygoing and interacting with the audience. So, yeah, to everybody who's unsure whether to come or not, come to the show and you will be surprised. I don't know if they will like it or not, but they will be surprised.
I think also especially young musicians who are just starting to express themselves through music and just kind of blowing their mind as to what the possibilities might be. I think I would really encourage young musicians to come out to see your show. And then we also have a lot of musicians on Vashon. So I think if you're a musician on Vashon, you should come check this out. I think there's a lot of inspiration to be gained there. So we're very excited that you'll be here on Friday, November 1st at 7:30 p.m. at the Vashon Center for the Arts. You have been listening to my conversation with Luca Stricagnoli. Luca, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thanks to you. It's been a pleasure.
This has been Human Music. I'm your host, Mira Joe. Each show, I talk with a guest musician about their musical experiences and pick a song to listen to together. Join me for a new show the last Saturday of every month, 10 to 11 a.m. Thank you, Jim Marsh, for producing the show today. Tune in to his Whiskey Hour radio program every Friday at 9 p.m.